This meeting is now being recorded.
Call the session to order, and I'll turn it over to our chair, Steve Crocker, to get us started.
Thank you very much. We begin a specific and important change in our operation. This is an experiment, but one that I think will move us a step closer to more openness and better understanding. So we have a trio of open sessions, three open sessions this afternoon. I've asked Vice Chair Shireen Shalaby to lead this and to open each one. And so let me turn it over to you, Shireen.
Thank you, Steve. I think for the record and for the for those listening, it would be helpful if we went around the room and had a roll call so everybody knows which board member is attending. So why don't we start with Steve, yours.
Steve Crocker, board chair.
Wendy Prophet, ICANN Organization.
Melissa King, ICANN Organization.
John Jeffrey, ICANN Organization.
Samantha Eisner, ICANN Organization.
Rhonda Sullivan, board.
Rinalia Abdurrahim, board member.
Suzanne Wolf, RSAC liaison to the board.
Kaveh Ainsbar, observer.
Khalid Kuba, observer.
Xavier Calavez, ICANN Organization.
David Olive, ICANN Organization.
Jonas Oinen, IETF liaison to the board.
Sally Costerton, ICANN Organization.
David Conrad, ICANN Organization.
Teresa Swinehart, ICANN Organization.
Bruce Tonkin.
Thomas Schneider, GAC liaison to the board.
Mike Silva.
George Sadowski.
Akram Atala, ICANN Organization.
Akinori Maimara, observing.
Lito Ibarra, board member.
Bruno Lanzin, board member.
Lucevice van der Laan, board member. Becky Burr, observer.
Marcus Kummer, board member.
Eric Amann, board member.
Asha Hemrajani, board member.
Susanna Bennett, ICANN Organization.
Ash Rangan, ICANN Org.
Krista Spain.
Yoram Arbi, ICANN Organization.
And Shireen Shalaby, thank you. So I would like to start by saying a few remarks and also explain how we will conduct the next three sessions so we make it easier for those listening to follow what the proceedings will be. I'd like to start with stating what Article 3, Section 3.1 of the new bylaws say. They say that ICANN and its constituent bodies shall operate to the maximum extent feasible in an open and transparent manner. Now, although the new bylaws are not yet operational, the board has listened to the wishes of the community and has decided to begin implementing some parts of these new bylaws, albeit on an experimental basis, starting with an increase in the level of transparency of the board's discussions and deliberation. With that objective in mind, as Steve has mentioned, the board will hold three workshop sessions this afternoon in an open manner and has invited the community and the public to listen in. The recording and transcript of those three open sessions will be available to everyone, and the board appreciates receiving feedback after today to learn from this experiment. The first session, as you know, has already started, and I believe the last session, the third one, will end at 14:30 UTC. At the beginning of each session, I will give a brief introduction, and then I will hand over to another person who will facilitate the board discussion. So let's start now with the first session, which is entitled Impact of New Bylaws. This session will be facilitated by Samantha Eisner, the Deputy General Counsel at ICANN, and the duration of the session is 30 minutes. By way of introduction, today is our first of a series of deep dives into the new ICANN bylaws. We, as a board, were very involved in both the consideration of the CCWG accountability proposal and the new bylaws. But now we have an obligation to the community to make sure that we are ready for when the new bylaws go into effect. In other words, we have to be ready to walk the talk and live these new bylaws. We have chosen our first deep dive to be on the changes to the mission statement and to remind us as a board of what it means to our work. With that, I now want to hand over to Samantha, who will facilitate the remainder of the session. Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Shireen. So as the board moves through this series of deep dives into the bylaws and we pick different topics to work through, we'll be focusing each of the presentations around a few different core areas. First, to provide the context around the topic and the reason for the change, to then understand the potential impact on the organization and how it might impact decision-making processes within the organization, and what changes it might require in operations, particularly at board level or staff level or at the community level as well. So first, we have setting the context. You can turn to the next slide. So setting the context. The reasons that the mission statement was changed, and when we talk about mission today, we'll be talking about the mission, commitments, and core values. This is the sum of Article 1 of the ICANN bylaws. So the CCWG accountability made these recommendations, and this is actually a cut and paste directly from the Annex 5 of the CCWG report, focusing on the need to change the words of ICANN's mission so that it could be used as a tool to hold ICANN accountable to serving that mission. And as you notice on the third bullet point on the page, it says clarify that ICANN's powers are enumerated. This means that nothing that is not articulated in the bylaws or anything that is not articulated in the bylaws is outside the scope of ICANN's authority. It's also important to note the CCWG included, which is this does not mean ICANN's powers can never evolve. However, it ensures that any changes will be deliberate and supported by the community. The CCWG then looked further into the way that ICANN's mission statement was developed, and the bylaws that are in effect today that the CCWG was looking at as a place for change had mission and core values. And the core values set out some of the values that ICANN's actions should be measured against, and there's a balancing test set out. And the CCWG recommended that in addition to core values, that there also be a set of commitments put in place. And these commitments are values that are fundamental to ICANN's operations and intended to apply consistently and comprehensively to ICANN's actions. And so indeed, we now have a commitments and core values section in the bylaws. And then the CCWG also took a look at the balancing test that was set out, if you can turn to the next page, that was set out in the bylaws about those core values and recommended changes to reference the import of the commitments and the need to consistently apply the commitments and then also consistently apply the core values, though recognizing that there might be a balancing test needed for those different core values. So, Wendy, if you can put up the excerpt from the bylaws. So, as the board knows, when we did the bylaws modification, you've seen that the mission itself has been expanded in length. It's basically doubled in size. We have Article 1, Section 1.1 sets out the mission now that it is far longer because it sets out an enumerated list of what ICANN includes within its mission. And then it goes into a set of Section 1.2, commitments and core values. So if you want to scroll through here, so there's the mission. If keep going. And so this language is very similar to what was provided within the CCWG report. If you can stop when you hit the top of this page, Wendy. There was a portion where there was significant discussion among the drafting team about how to appropriately phrase the grandfathering portions of the bylaws. So the CCWG recommended that there be certain items identified within the mission statement that was there was no question as to whether or not those were still applicable. As the CCWG noted, that the change to the language of the mission statement was not intended to change ICANN's historical role or mission. And so you'll see it, the little D here, for avoidance of doubt and notwithstanding the foregoing, there are a series of items that are listed here that are considered the grandfathering provision. So going to a very general level, basically lets us know that the contracts that we have in place with the registries and registrars in the current form remain in place, and renewals of those agreements in the current form will also be declared to meet the mission. Also within here is a acknowledgement that the strategic plan and operating plan that is currently in force today within ICANN meets the mission. What this doesn't do is grandfather in any future strategic plan or operating plan so that the community has an opportunity to work along with the ICANN board and ICANN organization to develop a strategic plan and operating plan as appropriate in the future. And then if you look at little B here, it says ICANN shall not act outside of its mission. This is one of the most important phrases that you can take from the new bylaws, because this really sets out the heart of what the CCWG was hoping to hold the board and the organization accountable to. This mission sets out the limits of what you do, and you're not to act outside of it. If you, again, for the board, these are the bylaws that you've seen before. If you want to refer back to the excerpt, it's on the drive of information presented for this meeting. If you can flip back to the slideshow, Wendy. So we have a new mission, or we have the new language of the mission statement that incorporates all the concepts from the CCWG accountability work. And then we have that key commitment at slide 8 that says ICANN shall not act outside its mission. So then what is the impact of the modification of the mission language? If you can go to slide 10. So ICANN's mission language has now moved from an aspirational statement to enumerated. And this is really where the work of the community, the organization, and the board will focus on reviewing whether or not any activities of the organization are within this list. So it is no longer a broad list that you can work to fit things into, but now it's a list of activities that you have to weigh whether or not the activity goes into there. But importantly, it does not change ICANN's historical role. The CCWG was very clear about that. And so that's one of the reasons why we had the ability to use those grandfathering provisions, because we wanted to make it clear that the work that ICANN does today did not need to change. So with the new bylaws as a whole, we have the expanded independent review process, and that has an impact on this mission statement, because if the board does not abide by the mission statement, and the mission statement is part of the bylaws, the ICANN organization and the board can be subject to IRPs and other accountability challenges for acts outside of the mission. And then the mission statement, commitments, and core values are also identified as fundamental bylaws to which 75% of the board and a majority of the empowered community must agree to changes. And so if there is movement to change the mission of ICANN as the organization, the community must be part of consideration and approval of those changes. So the board doesn't have any independent ability to just modify this section of the bylaws. And so if you turn to the next slide. So what does this mean? We have to consider what these changes mean to the organization. And there are changes that will have to happen at both the board and the community level. So at the board action, your decision-making, and this really isn't a change. You have to make sure that actions must be within ICANN's mission. ICANN never had the ability to act outside of its mission before the bylaws were in place, or before the new bylaws go into place. Just you have different language of the mission statement that you have to make sure that you're measuring yourself against. You have to make sure that we're applying the commitments consistently when making board decisions, and that those core values are being balanced as dictated within the bylaws. And this also means that the board needs help from the organization and the community, whoever is the source of recommendations up to the board. If you can turn to the next page. So both the organization and the community, like, we need to enhance our internal processes to confirm that the work that they're recommending to the board is within mission. And both the organization and the community need to confirm that the recommendations they're making are things that have applied those commitments within the mission statement consistently, and document how core values are weighed and served across that balancing test. So that's really the baseline that we're working with. So if you have questions about where this goes from here, this is the jumping off point for that conversation.
Thank you, Samantha. Any questions? So we deliberately didn't want to go through every line in the mission statement, but really, because I'm sure you've read it, the idea here was to just give you the general idea, the restriction, and then open it up for questions. Erica?
Erica Mann. I would love to talk to Goran, actually, about this topic, and in particular about the item, shall not act outside the mission, because that's something which is, of course, core for the board to reflect upon when it in its future action. But that's something which is deeply, of course, related to the management of the organization as well. So, how did this particular topic? How do you plan, or how have you done already, and how do you plan to translate this into operational actions inside the management? Because I'm pretty sure there are tasks which are left from the previous CEO, which to some degree practically evoked these kind of this topic. So I wonder, how do you review this, and how would you want to review it in your daily operations?
Joran here. Thank you for a very good question. There are several answers to that question. One of them is that I think that we have to work in general with a higher accountability and transparency, which that's a process that is ongoing, and that also involves, of course, a lot of the discussions together with the board. So the other part of that is, I think, the clarification we're doing between the board responsibilities, the community's responsibilities, and the organization's responsibility when it comes to what we're supposed to do. And I've shared that a couple of times with everybody, and one of them is that the ICANN organization, as we call it now, is a support organization to the board and to the community. Going forward, I think it's very important for us to measure everything we do, for instance, in communication, so we don't overrepresent ourselves in when we describe ICANN, and therefore we are working on a new communication strategy, which we are in the process of together with the community to look through. And therefore, in my conference call with community leaders, I talk to them individually about the way we present it. I also think it's important that this is not only for the ICANN organization to look at, it's equally important for the board, and also to some extent for the community, because some of the bylaws can affect on more general terms than just how to handle the ICANN organization. I hope that answers a part of your question.
Thank you. Rinalia, thank you.
Thank you. Rinalia Abdulrahim speaking. As a follow-up to Erica's excellent question, because I was thinking along the same lines, I think it would be important for the board to have a checklist of the items that have been embedded in the new bylaws that we need to factor when we make decisions, so that we know that we have looked at each one of them before we actually decide. And that's something for ICANN org to make sure happen. Thank you.
Steve.
I want to follow up on your point, Renalia. So I've been involved in a number of bureaucratic organizations before that have requirements that we meet, that every action meets certain criteria. And yes, it's absolutely required that we have a checklist and that there be words, paragraphs, or whatever associated with every action that speaks to the several requirements. I think even with that, some additional vigilance is required, lest that become pro forma and somewhat vacuous in the process. And so in addition to making sure that we observe the form of that, I think it behooves all of us to read those words and be comfortable that we're not just checking boxes, but that we've agree that the argument made that it's consistent with our mission and it meets all of these different, you know, speaks to the core values, et cetera, actually is meaningful at the time that we write it, at the time that we read it, and doesn't just become a rote process.
Renalia, you want to reply?
Yes. Renalia Abdurrahim, I just wanted to say that I agree with Steve, and I think that both are equally important. Thanks.
I wonder where Samantha and maybe Becky, because you were very involved with the mission statement, if just to give an example to the board of a couple of things that would be considered as outside the mission. For example, is internet governance in general outside the mission? Something like, it would be very useful to put some specific examples to illustrate the point that was made by Renalia and Erica.
So I don't think it's, this is Becky Burr, I don't think it's possible to say, I mean, there are some things that are clearly outside of the mission. Content regulation is clearly outside of ICANN's mission, as it has been from the beginning. When you talk about things like internet governance, well, we have the coordination role. We also have values regarding diversity in that. There will be some times where internet governance exercises outside of the ICANN gambit specifically are appropriate for ICANN to participate in, and some places where it's not. The question is, are we acting in furtherance of our coordination mission and consistent with the commitments and core values?
Sam, do you want to add to this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shireen, I just want to let you know we have about 4 minutes left for this session.
Did we not start about 4 minutes or 5 minutes late?
If you would like to take those 5 minutes back, we can allow that, and we'll shave it off one of the other two. Thank you.
Okay. Bruce, I want to bring you in. What's your perspective on the...
Yeah, just an observation, I suppose. Perhaps a good example of how core values have been weighed and served was in the new GTLD policy document. If you go back and read the new GTLD policy document, it actually systematically went through the core values in forming its conclusions. So I guess going forward, when we look at other policy recommendations that come from the community, either we'd expect to see that in their report, or perhaps we go back and ask them and say, you know, how do these policy recommendations take into account the core values?
So are you saying that, for example, during the new GTLD, there were some policy moments that should have gone back to the GNSO and things of that nature, or...?
No, I'm just saying in the original policy development process, the new GTLD policy work was actually grounded on the core values. We actually went through each of the core values, and if you read the new GTLD policy recommendations, they each cross-reference the core value that they meet, basically. So it's just something that's worth board members having a look at that process, because the report's quite explicit about the core values that each of the policy recommendations is tied to.
Okay, that's clearer. Thank you. Who else have another question on this? Chris, you're very silent. Usually you speak a lot.
Thank you, Shireen. I have a mouthful of carrot, so it's quite... No, I'm fine. I've been listening to Sam, and I'm happy, thanks.
Well, as we said earlier, this is a first of a series of meetings and deep dives that we will have on the bylaws. Today's session, unfortunately, is particularly short, so it's quite difficult to engage much longer than this, but the next few sessions will allow a lot more time, and there will be a lot more preparation and discussion. So with that in mind, if there are no more questions on the new bylaws and the mission statement in particular, thank you, Sam, and thank you, everyone.